everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night here on KCRW at 7:30. And tonight we're going to be listening to some British rarities, some early and obscure work by people such as Peter Cook and John Cleese. But before we do, did you see The Mystery of Al Capone's Balls? Did you see it? Did you see it? Was that? I mean, I tell you about comedies every week, and yet I don't think I've told you about anything that was as funny as that was. It was amazing. Anyhow, on to this week's program. To begin with, I'm going to lead with my strong suit. I'm going to play the most spectacularly rare thing that I have possibly in my entire collection tonight. And this is from a Cambridge University undergraduate review from 1963 featuring a very young John Cleese. And it's a courtroom scene. It's a very funny scene. It's the precursor of a lot of the Python courtroom scenes. And I think you're going to love it. It's from 1963. It's from a review they put together called The Cambridge Circus, which actually came to this country. It was so successful and didn't do very well over here. But anyway, we'll listen to that, and then I'll tell you what else we're going to listen to when we listen to it. So let's listen to it. Here we go.
You are Arnold Fitch?
Definitely, yes.
You are hereby charged that on the 14th day of July, in the 1963rd year of our Lord, you did willfully, unlawfully, and with malice aforethought, assault one Sidney Bottle, a dwarf. How plead you, guilty or not guilty?
Definitely not guilty.
My lord, in this case, my learned friend, Mr. Mel Travers, appears for the defence, and I appear for the money. The case... the case would appear to be a simple one, my lord. The prosecution will endeavour to prove that the snivelling, depraved, cowardly wretch whom you see cowering before you returned home on the night of the 14th of July in a particularly vicious and unpleasant frame of mind, had words with his wife, and then deliberately assaulted his pet ostrich by throwing a watering can at it.
A watering can, my lad. A watering can, a large cylindrical tin-plated vessel with a perforated pouring piece, much used by the lower classes for the purpose of artificially moistening the surface soil.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. Your knowledge is inexhaustible.
You are very gracious, my lad, if I may continue. The ostrich... The ostrich, my lad, an ostrich, a large, hairy, flightless bird, resident in Africa, remarkable for its speed in running and much prized for its feathers.
A kind of kookaburra.
No, my lad. The ostrich, taking fright, flew out of the window and landed on a passing ice cream cart.
Oh, that cart?
Ice cream cart, my lad. Ice cream, an artificial cream substitute, sweetened, flavoured and frozen, originally invented by the American Indians as an antidote to trench foot. Oh, thank you, my lad, if I may be allowed to continue. And landed on a passing ice cream cart, thereby causing a small dollop of ice cream... I beg your pardon, my lad. I'm afraid I was trying to clear my throat. Thereby causing a small portion of ice cream to fall on the plaintiff, Mr. Sidney Bottle, a dwarf, who was hopping past at the time, thereby soiling Mr. Bottle's new suit. Those, quite simply, are the facts of the case, my lad. A very straightforward one, as I think we will all agree. It would appear that the rule laid down in Pritchard against the East Halifax Fishbone Glue Manufacturing Company would apply.
Was that the case of the slug and the lemonade bottle, Mr. Bottle?
No, my lad, it was the case of the human cannonball and the kiwi.
Ah, that was the kookaburra.
No, my lad.
I think his lordship is thinking of White against Phillips, Mr. Partey, the case of the aborigine who was about to launch his boomerang at a dingo that was chasing his kangaroo, had his attention distracted by a lunging kookaburra, causing him to release the boomerang which struck a passing cobber in the outback.
An Australian case, my lad.
Well, if it is an Australian case,
suggesting we could have...
But if we could do
it, I should like to call the first witness. Thank you for that. Call. Call. Percy Molar.
Call Percy Molar.
You are Percy Molar.
That is correct, that is correct, that is Batman.
You are a company director. Of no fixed abode. You are also a musical comedian.
Yes.
Are you married?
Yes, I am, yes, I am. My wife.
Will you, in your own words, please, Mr. Molar? Your own words, please, Mr. Molar, describe your wife to this court.
My wife, she's so fat. She's so fat that when she walks down the street, she looks like five dogs fighting in a sack. My wife, five dogs down the street.
Would I be correct in thinking that your wife has comparatively recently visited the West Indies?
Yes.
Jamaica.
Objection.
I'm sorry. I was born at first time. Mr. Molar, did you meet your wife in a revolving door?
No, she went of her own accord, I thank you.
No. Now, listen very carefully to the question, please, Mr. Molar. Now, did you meet your wife in a revolving door?
Ah, yes, and we've been going around together ever since we've been going around.
Mr. Molar, I put it to you that your mother-in-law is bald.
I agree at once!
And would I be correct in thinking that our last...
Objection, my learned learning friend is not going to leave.
I am not. Does your mother-in-law... Did your
mother-in-law...
My learned friend is treating Mr. Molar like a half-witness. Now, Mr. Molar, what is it to... Molar, this is quite intolerable! My learned friend is making a mockery of this courtroom! What is more, me learned friend is neither learned nor me friend. And in future, madam, with your permission, I shall refer to him as me ignorant enemy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Molar. Thank you.
Now, if me ignorant enemy will allow me to get a few words in edgeways.
What ways, Mr. Bartlett?
It's time you retired, my lad. Mr. Molar, what has happened? Mr. Molar, what has happened to your bald mother-in-law recently?
My bald mother-in-law, she's had rabbits tattooed on her head because at a distance they may look like hairs. Rabbits on her head because of this way of hairs. Bunny rabbits.
Thank you, Mr. Molar.
Bunny rabbits.
Thank you, Mr. Molar. And did you then see the ostrich fly to the window and land on the passing ice cream cart, thereby causing a small dollop of ice cream to fall on the plate of Mr. Sidney Bottle, a dwarf who was hopping past at the time?
Yes!
No further questions. Just two questions, my lad. Mr. Molar.
No.
Does your house have a garden?
No, my house does definitely not have a garden. No, my house has not a garden, Nick.
Do you see the accused?
Yes!
Does his house have a garden?
No, the accused's house does not have a garden, no.
In that case, would the accused be likely to have a spade?
No.
A scythe?
No.
A rake?
No.
Hoe?
No.
Trowel?
No.
Pitchfork?
No.
Pruning shears?
No.
Watering can?
Yes!
Damn! No further questions, Miller?
You may leave the court, Mr. Molar.
You're very kind, my lad. But before I go, I'd like to sing a very, very lovely old English ballad.
A ballad entitled...
I don't wish to hear that. Would you kindly leave the court?
Very well, my lad.
Call Arnold Fitch.
Call Arnold Fitch.
You are Arnold Fitch,
alias... Arnold Fitch!
You are Arnold Fitch, alias...
Arnold Fitch!
It's perfectly all right, my lord. It's quite...
Arnold Fitch, alias Arnold Fitch?
Yes.
Then why is your alias the same as your real name?
Because when I do use my alias, no one will expect it to be the same as my real name.
You are a company director.
Of course.
Did you throw the watering can?
No.
I suggest that you threw the watering can.
I did not.
I put it to you that you threw the watering can.
I didn't.
I submit that you threw the watering can.
No.
Did you or did you not throw the watering can?
I did not.
Yes or no? Did you throw the watering can?
No.
Answer the question! So he denies it!
Come on!
Very well. Would you be surprised to hear that you'd thrown the watering can?
Yes.
And do you deny not throwing the watering can?
Yes.
Ah! No! Very well, Mr. Fix! No, only be sure to say that you were lying if you denied that it was false to affirm, that it belied you to deny that it was untrue that you were lying.
Oh!
You hesitate, Mr. Fix, to answer, please. The court is waiting. Yes! Yes! No further questions. Call Sydney Bottle. Just once.
Call Sydney Bottle. Just once.
You are, Sydney Butler, you are presumably a company director. You are also a dwarf. Now, will you tell the car, please, Mr. Butler, on the night of the 14th of July, as you returned from work, do you remember, as you passed the...
Pretend that you were sober. I have here, Mr. Bottle, conclusive proof that on the night in question you had consumed no less than 17 pink gins. Furthermore, Mr. Bottle, I put it to you that on the night you were well and truly stoned.
Well, God only knows what was happening there at the end when they get kind of crazy and everybody's laughing. But I think that's a wonderful piece. That's called Judge Not. It was from the cast of Cambridge Circus, which featured Anthony Buffery, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Bill Oddie, who later became members of the British group The Goodies, I think. John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Chris Stewart Clark. And they were all undergraduates there at Cambridge at the time that they did that. Now, let's move on to something else fairly rare. This is from a British television show entitled The Frost Report. It featured David Frost, and this is where Monty Python originally got together. I'll just read off some of the names of the scriptwriters here. You'll notice it's really who's who in British comedy. David Frost, Peter Vincent, Barry Cryer, Dennis Norden, Keith Waterhouse, Terry Jones, Michael Palin, Eric Idle, John Cleese, Graham Chapman, Marty Feldman, and the list goes on. I don't know exactly who wrote this particular piece. I may be able to find out at home in a book, which I have, which I didn't bring with me. But in the cast, we will hear Ronnie Barker, Ronnie Corbett, the two Ronnies who you may have seen on Channel 28, Sheila Stiefel, David Frost may be in this piece, I'm not sure, and, once again, one of my favorite funny people, John Cleese.
My God, it's funny, isn't it?
Oh, I haven't laughed at eggs much for a long time.
I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen when that chap came in through the door.
And Sergeant Gittins with the tiger's head.
Oh, it does you good to have a good laugh once in a while, isn't it?
Let me get you a drink. What do you want?
Gin and tonic, please. Thanks. Oh, Rupert. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Nice to see you. I haven't seen you for years.
Oh, Celia, darling, this is Malcolm Kerr. Malcolm Celia.
Hello.
Hello. I say it's a marvellous play, isn't it? It's terribly funny, isn't it?
Do you like it, do you?
Oh, yes. I think it's really pretty funny, isn't it?
Funny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean bits of it are quite funny, aren't they? I mean, bits of it. You know, don't you?
Yes, I suppose it's quite amusing, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, mind you, I don't think it's all that good.
No.
No, but there are moments when, you know... It's
like the scene with the porter.
Oh, the scene with the porter, that's very funny, that's marvellous. Yeah.
Wildly overdone.
Oh, wildly overdone, yeah. But it's, nevertheless,
funny.
Yeah, quite funny, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's quite funny, but just a bit overdone, but quite funny.
Except at the end.
Except at the end, yes. Which is a little more, well, it is a little more,
What?
Well, I was going to say it is, I mean, compared with the rest, it is just a little more,
Surrealist?
Surrealist, yes, that's it, yes.
Ah,
yes.
No, I wouldn't agree with that.
No, not surrealist.
No, I don't think so, not surrealist, no.
No, well, perhaps I'm not expressing myself very well. What I mean is, it's surrealist in the sense of, humour.
I'm sorry?
In the sense of humour. Sense of humour. Oh, Paul! I want you to meet Rupert Clark.
Clemens.
Clemens. And this is Mayor. This lady.
Celia.
Lady Celia. Celia.
Thomas.
Oh, Thomas. Oh, it's Thomas. Celia Thomas, yes, of course.
No, there's no reason you should have known Thomas. I didn't tell you.
No, you didn't tell me, did you? No. Didn't tell me that. Sure.
You haven't told us your friend's name yet.
What? That's Paul. This is my friend Paul. My brother Paul. Brother-in-law Paul. Foxley Harris.
Hello. Hello.
We were just discussing the play.
Marvellous, isn't it?
I was just saying that... we all agree that it is quite funny, in bits. Bits.
Bits of it?
Mm.
You said it was the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Yes. Did it? No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said the bit with the porter was very... Might as well be overdone.
Overdone?
Overdone, yes.
Over the top.
Over the top, exactly, yes.
Over the top? What's so special about the porter bit? You were laughing at the whole thing.
Well, I was, yes, hardly, yes, in bits, yes.
Oh, which other bits did you like?
Well, I liked the porter bit.
Yes.
Porter bit was very good.
Yes.
Very funny.
Yes, that's been agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which was overdone, if funny.
Quite.
And over the big top.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
But what other parts?
Other parts.
Yes.
I like, well...
Now, come on.
God.
Now, you fell off your seat laughing at the fellow with the tiger skin.
Did he? Did you laugh at that?
No, I didn't laugh at that. I didn't think that was at all under the top. I thought that was over the... I didn't think that was funny.
Oh, you are a liar.
I didn't think that was funny.
I thought it was funny.
Yes,
John. Oh, that bit. Oh, yes, that bit. Yeah. Oh, yes, that was very funny. Yes. Yes, I did laugh at that.
Yes, he did.
That was very funny.
Well, it wasn't that funny.
No, it wasn't that funny. No, it was more Well, it was more humorous, wasn't it? It was. I mean, surrealism in the... I mean, if you're in a tiger... you can't be. I mean, it was overdone, wasn't it? What do you think? I mean, but I found if you're going over the top, then you've got to go... I mean, over... you've got to... that's the phone. I must go to the lavatory.
Does your friend go to the theatre often?
Oh, yes. He's a critic.
And now it's time to present probably the first piece of British humor that I ever heard that really caught my fancy. And I must have been about 14 or 15 years old, and they used to play this a lot on WBAI in New York. And this is a piece which I later found out was written by Peter Cook and was from a British review called One Over the Eight, which was the sequel to a very successful review called Pieces of Eight. And this features Kenneth Williams, whom you've probably seen in many of the Carry On films. And this show was actually sort of interesting because it had comedy sketches by, of all people, Harold Pinter. But they're not very funny, so I won't be playing those. But I will be playing this piece, which is by Peter Cook, featuring Kenneth Williams. And it's called Interesting Facts.
Hello.
Hello.
I think I'll sit down here.
Yes, you do that.
Hello again.
Hello.
Did you know you got 4 miles of tubing in your stomach?
I beg your pardon?
I said, did you know you got 4 miles of tubing in your stomach?
No, I didn't realise that.
Well, you have, in any case, 4 miles of it, all coiled up very tight.
Yes, I'd rather not think about it, thank you.
It has to be coiled up very tight, otherwise they never get it all in. It's interesting, isn't it, how they manage to cram it all in?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Because a special kind of tubing is used. You couldn't get 4 miles of any old tubing in your stomach.
No.
It's called intestines. And it folds up ever so small. That's how they manage to cram it all in. Aren't you interested in your intestines?
Not particularly.
Well, you ought to be, because they're very important. You'd be lost without your intestines. Would you like to see a diagram of your intestines? I've got one here in my little book.
No, thank you very much.
Well, it's not really a diagram of your intestines. Not unless it was you that modelled for it. And it couldn't be you, really, because you have to be dead before you can model for intestines.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So it's not a very good job to have, is it? There you are, you see? You see how far the food has to travel?
Yes, yes, I see.
4 miles it has to go, and it takes 4 hours. That's a mile an hour it goes.
I had no idea.
That means you never get any really fresh food in your stomach. It's all at least 4 hours old.
Fancy that.
No, I don't fancy that, thank you very much. I don't fancy at all. I wish my intestines were shorter. Don't you wish your intestines were shorter?
I wish you'd leave my intestines out of it.
You can't leave your intestines out of it. You wouldn't be able to digest.
Let's just forget about my intestines, shall we?
All right, then. Would you like to hear an interesting fact about Chinamen?
Oh, very well. What is it?
Do you know that if all the Chinamen in the world was to link hands, they would girdle the earth 3 times?
3 times, eh?
Yes. Girdle, girdle, girdle. Because I haven't had time to check up on it, you know. I haven't had time to go around saying, Mr. Wang, meet Mr. Wong, link hands and see if you can girdle the earth. I'm too busy writing all the facts down in my little book. They're very interesting facts in my little book, aren't they?
Oh, yes, I'm fascinated.
For instance, did you know that the whale isn't really a fish at all? The whale is an insect and it lives on bananas.
The whale is an insect? I've never heard of such rubbish.
I know. It's a joke. I just made it up. I was having you on. It's one of my little jokes.
Yes, I see.
What about the grasshopper, then?
Well, what about the grasshopper?
I don't know. Have you heard anything?
Oh.
No, but really, the grasshopper is a very interesting creature. Do you know it has a disproportionate leaping ability due to its very powerful hind legs? And it goes hop. It goes hop, hop, hop all over arable land. That is land where it's actually tilled by Arabs. Oh, and you know, an Arab can live for a whole year on one grain of rice.
A whole year on one grain of rice?
Yes. Oh, no, it's a mosquito that lives for a whole year on one grain of rice. I always get those two mixed up because I've got them on the same page. See, that's mosquito and Muslim.
Quite so, quite.
But it's interesting, isn't it, about the grasshopper's leaping ability. If a giraffe could leap pound for pound as high as a grasshopper, a giraffe could leap right onto the moon and thus lead Britain in a space race. That's an interesting fact, isn't it?
Yes, well, I'm rather bored with all your interesting facts.
That's interesting too, because you know what? I'm Britain's secret boring weapon.
You're Britain's secret boring weapon?
Yes. You see, if there's a war, they put me on an aeroplane, and I'm dropped on the enemies.
Dropped on the enemies?
Yes, and then I bore them all to death. I bore them all to death, you see?
I'm not at all surprised. I've never had such a load of...
Here, that's only a joke. Here, yes. That's a joke. It's just one of my little jokes. It's not a fact. It's just a joke. Oh, he's gone.
And we'll have to be gone too, because our time is out for this edition of Funny Stuff. That was Kenneth Williams and someone whose name I don't know from the original production of One Over the Eight. And before that, we heard Ronnie Barker, John Cleese, Ronnie Corbett and Sheila Stiefel from The Frost Report, a British television program. And we started off with a very rare recording from the Cambridge Circus featuring John Cleese, among many other people. And let's see, what else is there to tell you about? Next week's program is Myron Cohen. Myron Cohen passed away a month or two ago, and we will pay tribute to him. He was a very funny storyteller, a very good storyteller. Told a lot of very good dialect stories, and I think you'll enjoy it. Very gentle, very sweet humor. And what else? Joe Bash is on tonight at 7:30 on Channel 7. I just passed that on to you in case you're interested. I think you'll like it. Buffalo Bill on the Arts and Entertainment Network. Yes, Minister on PBS. The same old stuff. What can I tell you? Other than that, this has been your host, Bob Glaster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. And I have nothing else to tell you that can't wait until next week. So there you go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.